Good morning, everyone. Happy New Year. Hopefully you're not tired from staying up till midnight. I didn't, but the fireworks did wake me up, so I hope some of you got to enjoy them. I was more annoyed because they woke me up. Anyways, welcome to Arundale Alliance Church. I'm Erin McDonald. I'm the student intern here. It's a pleasure to have you all with us. This is a Communion Sunday, and we're having it earlier in the service than normal, so if you're online and at home, get your elements ready sooner, because it will be before the sermon and not afterwards. Would you please stand with us as we sing?
Coming on the clouds, kings and kingdoms will bow down. And every chain will break as broken hearts declare his praise. For who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. Bow before him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains. Every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before him.
But one of the 24 elders said to me, "Stop weeping. Look, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the heir to David's throne, has won the victory. He is worthy to open the scroll and its seven seals.
When I fear my faith will fail, Christ will hold me fast. When the tempter would prevail, he will hold me fast. I could never keep my hold through life's fearful path, for my love is often cold. He must hold me fast. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. For my Savior loves me so. He will hold me fast. Those he saves are his delight. Christ will hold me fast. Precious in his holy sight, he will hold me fast. He'll not let my soul be lost. His promises shall last, bought by him at such a cost. He bled and died. Christ will hold me fast. Justice has been satisfied. He will hold me fast. Raised with him to endless life. He will hold me fast till our faith is hard to sight. When he
ways, my fears to quell, my hopes to raise, but what I need your word has said is ever only Jesus. You died, you live, you reign, you plead, there's love in all your words. This weary heart finds of my soul. I trade my treasures and all my rewards, Jesus, to know you, then know you more. Though some should curse me for your name, I have no fear, I have no shame. You stand with me for all my days, my ever only Jesus. I want to know you, Jesus, my King of the heavens, King of my soul. I trade my treasures and all my rewards, Jesus, to know you, then know. Like wave after wave on the ocean, like all of the sand on the shore, your beauty and glory are endless. Oh Jesus, I must know you more. Like wave after wave on the ocean, like all of the sand on the shore, your beauty and glory are endless. Oh Jesus, I must know you more. I want to know you, Jesus, my Lord, King of the heavens and King of my soul. Trade my treasure and all my rewards, Jesus, to know you and know you more, Jesus, to know you and know.
As Aaron said, we are doing things a little bit differently this morning, and by that it means we're doing communion ahead of time. So right now you can already be preparing your elements, and those of you joining us online, this is your chance to go and prepare the elements. Communion is something we do monthly, and it's not just for those who call Arendelle home. So if you're visiting, this is also for you, and we want to make sure you have the chance, if you'd like to participate in communion. So if you do not have one of the elements, just wave at one of the ushers at the back, and they will hand out one for you. We want to make sure everyone has a chance to participate in this, because it's not just for us Arendellites, it's for all Christians. Even as we just wait for those joining us online to prepare, let's get this top little sleeve removed, just because it sometimes is a little tricky. You can just remove that and just hold on to the elements while we wait for a sec. In Corinthians, it tells us this: a man ought to examine himself before he eats the bread and drinks the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. As we move to communion, it's important and proper that we take a moment just to address our own soul and see where we are at in our relationship with God. So I'm going to give you just a few quiet seconds here to peacefully and in quiet contemplation talk with God and just see, is there something you need to confess to him, something that's just not right in your relationship with him? So I'll give you these next few seconds to do this. In Corinthians, it goes on saying this: the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us pray before we participate in the bread. Lord God, we recognize what you did on the cross. Lord, we thank you for your sacrifice. Lord, your body was beaten and bruised for us. We recognize what we did, and we are so thankful for you. And we do this in remembrance of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us participate together. You can go ahead and remove the cup portion. It continues on in Corinthians saying this: in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." Let us pray again. Lord, we thank you for the new covenant that is in your blood. Lord, we are so thankful for the freedom it gives us. Lord, we remember you, and we praise you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's participate together. Every time we do communion, we also do two other things in it. We do what's called the benevolent offering. And this can be given at the back table. There's a place you can do this. You can write on an envelope, benevolent, put your name on it, and then it is receivable. You can also do this online. I believe so, actually. I just said that, and I don't know. Tammy, where are you? Yes, you can do it online, right? There's a section. Yeah, there's a section on the scroll down thing where you can give benevolent. This goes to support those who are in desperate need, whether it be they can't even put food on the table or some sort of issue that has come up recently, and they just need some financial aid. That's what this goes to. People in our church and in our community. So please give to that. Also, what we do at the end of the service is we ask for prayer of healing. So if you have something that is on your soul right now that you need prayer for, whether it be physical, spiritual, mental, emotional, at the end of the service, I'm going to invite you, or Pastor Cody will, invite you to come forward, and the elders will pray over you for healing. And this is kind of unique. We did communion a little early, but I think this is fitting. Because from here on out, we've already had the climax of the service. We have had that moment of which we as a congregation came before the throne of Christ and celebrated Jesus is coming. And so as we sing this next song, would you just sing with a little more gusto? Because we know, because we know that Jesus is risen and that he is coming back. And it may be this year. It may be 2023. Who knows? It may be today. But will you stand and join the worship team as they sing?
Soul shall find rest. Good morning, everyone, and Happy New Year to you all. My name's Serena Matiko, and I will be doing the scripture reading this morning. So please turn with me to Joshua chapter 1, and I will be reading verses 1 to 9. And I'll also be reading from the ESV version. So again, that was Joshua chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am going to give to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go."
Good morning. My name is Pastor Jor, and I'm one of the pastors here at Arundale Alliance Church, and it's my privilege to lead us in our first communal prayer of 2023 as we do so for those who want the Mandarin interpretation service. You are dismissed. Is there anything happening for kids today? I think it's self-serve today. I'm getting the nod. No. So with this in mind, and Happy New Year. Would you bow with me in prayer? Gracious God, we thank you for this day. And we thank you for this, the first day of 2023. And as we look back on 2022, for some it was a year of joy and blessing. For some it was a year of challenge. For some it maybe was a year of heartbreak or illness or healing or restoration. Lord, you know the weeks that we come from. You know the year that we each individually have had, those who are gathered online, those who are gathered here in the building with us. And in this moment of quiet, Father, we bring 2022 before you and ask for your perspective on what you have been doing in us and through us. We come before you individually with our hurts and our needs, our joys and our sorrows and our celebrations. And as we look back on last year and look forward to this new year, we bring these to you. Holy God, would you hear our prayers and would you direct our hearts? Father, we thank you for the Advent season we just came through. And Lord Jesus, we reflect on your coming several thousand years ago, a couple thousand years ago, and anticipate your second coming, which, as Pastor Matthew has said, could even be today. And I'm reminded of a reoccurring theme throughout Scripture. Come, Lord Jesus, come soon. Father, you know what we need. You know who we are. You know what you want to do with us. You know what your will is and what you are going to accomplish. And we, your people, come before you and we celebrate that not only do you want and desire, but you choose and you bring to pass because you are the all-powerful God. And we thank you that we are called as your children. In 2023, Father, would you lead us and guide us individually? Would you teach us to speak the truth in love, to receive the truth in love in a new way this year? As a church family, would you teach us more what it means to be a family of disciples, experiencing and proclaiming your transforming love, Lord Jesus? In 2023, would you lead and would you guide as we continue to seek to be the church family you call us to be. This morning, we're mindful, Father, that we're part of something bigger. We're part of a bigger denomination, and we thank you for our fellow churches in Rossburn, in Rostern, and in Russell. And as they gathered this morning, as they spent time in worship and gathered around your word, would you continue your work in and through those churches? We think of our churches right close here around us, Ebenezer, and Forest Grove, 15-5, and I know there's other congregations that are starting to meet in these neighborhoods. For the churches in Saskatoon that call on your name, would you continue your work in them and through them, even as we ask you, continue your work in and through us. And Lord, we thank you that your work is bigger than just Arendale, or just the Alliance, or just Saskatchewan, or just Canada. Father, we do lift our provincial leaders before you and ask that you lead them, that you guide them in 2023. Lord, we continue to ask for a revival to happen in Ottawa in 2023, and that you continue to have your hand upon Justin Trudeau and the rest of our government in this season. Would you bend their hearts and their ears to you, and would you do your work in them? Would you change their hearts and lead them? For those who are believers, would you teach them in a new season, in a new way, how to be your hands and feet in such an important place? Lord, we continue to stand with those who suffer around the world. And Lord, we know many believers are gathered in secret today in different places because they're not allowed to gather in your name. Father, we ask that you continue your work through them. We ask that you protect our brothers and sisters. We ask that you would show us what we should do to support them and care for them as part of our family. Think of the Ukraine this morning, and Father, we ask for peace. Lord, we thank you for the ministries that you're doing here in the city, but we also thank you for the international works that you're doing in various places. And close to home, we thank you for Glenn and Ruth and the work that they're doing in the Pleasant Hill neighborhood, and we ask that you continue to guide them. We ask that you would continue to use them. It's a cold season right now, and I know they ask for prayer for those who don't have somewhere warm to be. And we ask for your mercy on that neighborhood. Father, we pray against the despair that seems to be filling that community. We stand with Glenn and Ruth as they seek to bring light and truth and love into a place of despair and disappointment and loneliness. Lord, we thank you for the work that you have been doing in them and ask that you continue it. Father, we also thank you for the EHA, the Emmanuel Hospital Association, and the medical work that they're doing. We thank you for Ninans and their leadership with it and ask that you would continue to use that network in this season. Father, thank you for how you brought them through 2022, and we ask that you would use them to touch hearts and lives and bodies and bring health in 2023. Would you continue to provide resources and personnel? Would you continue to provide the staff that they need for the hospitals and protect that staff as they serve? And Lord, would you grant them wisdom? And Lord, would you give them justice in a challenging season and in a challenging place? Father, we come before you. We lift these concerns and many more before you. Hear our prayers, Holy God, and do your work. You are God, we are your people, and we rely on you. Thank you for what you're doing. Father, we pray a blessing over Pastor Cody as he brings the word. We pray a blessing over the Mandarin interpretation happening in the fellowship hall. We pray a blessing over those who are gone. We know we got many who are away, and we'll be back probably to normal next Sunday. But with all the comings and the goings in the season, would you watch over us, protect us? And in all things, Holy God, would your will be done in and through us, we ask. In your name, amen.
Good morning, Arundel Alliance Church, and welcome to those of you online. As Joran said, I'm Pastor Cody. And before I go into the message, let's just commit this time of prayer. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for bringing us here. Thank you for the works that you do in us and through us. And Father, I pray that this message is not my own, but you are speaking through me, Lord. And Father, if there's anyone that doesn't know you, that they can come to know you today, Lord. Just pray that you can be working in our hearts and convicting us if needed, Lord. And just teach us. In your wonderful name, amen. So, first off, it's New Year. Happy New Year, everyone. So, we did something different today. For myself, it was different. We did communion before the message. And in my time of being a Christian, so that's 15 plus years, I've never done that before, so it's new. And so, have you guys ever made any New Year's resolutions, and how many have you have stuck to them? I, being one, I have made New Year's resolutions, or I've gone, and I've haven't stuck to them. But going into something new, or into the New Year's, can be exciting, and it can be scary. For me, I went into something new when I was 18. I went to Australia. And so I had to fly alone, and flying to Australia is halfway across the world. So that's, to me, it was scary. And I went with an organization called YWAM, Youth with a Mission. And through that, that's where God was sanctifying me. That's where my foundation in him was laid. But for those of you that don't know me well, I tend to stress and overthink every possible scenario. So flying to Australia, I was like, who is going to pick me up? What happens if I don't get picked up? What is going to happen? But here I am. Someone picked me up at the airport. It worked out. And through this, I've learned that I need to trust and surrender everything to God through my worries and anxious thoughts that I have. And I just have to surrender that to God. And so talking about something new, I went into something new. And now we're going to be looking at Joshua 1, where he was led into something new. He was led into being a new leader. And also, he led the Israelites into the Promised Land. And so doing something new can be exciting, terrifying, and ultimately, for some people, for myself, it's an experience where I feel that God is growing, where I'm growing in God. It's a sanctifying experience. But as we go into the new year, and as we try new things, are we giving them to God and surrendering and asking him to lead us? And so before we turn to Joshua 1, we need to get an understanding of what's happened and where Joshua is introduced and how God elects him to be the leader. And so we first learn about Joshua, not in Joshua. We learn about him in the Torah, which is the first five books of the Bible. So we first learn about him in Exodus 24:13 and in Deuteronomy. And so in Exodus 24:13, it says, "So Moses rose with his assistant, Joshua, and Moses went into the mountain of God." And then Deuteronomy 3:28, "But charge Joshua, encourage and strengthen him, for he shall go over at the head of this people, and he shall put them in the possession of the land that you shall see." And in this last one, in Exodus 17:9-10, "Moses said to Joshua, 'Choose for us men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with a staff of God in my hand.' Joshua did as Moses told him and fought with Amalek." And so it's important to look at why Joshua is mentioned before. It's important because we get to see his character. We get to see that God was using him before he even was introduced in the book of Joshua. And we learn from Exodus 17 that that Joshua obeys God and obeys Moses. Exodus 24:13, I believe, is something key that we see, is that when Moses goes to the mountain, to God, where he writes the Ten Commandments, that Joshua goes halfway with him. That's something important to see. And then in Deuteronomy 3:28, God says to Moses to charge Joshua to encourage him and strengthen him. So God is telling Moses to do these things because God is going to appoint their next leader, and that is Joshua. So God is preparing something in Joshua and showing them the importance of what needs to happen next. And so the book of Joshua is going to be about Joshua leading the Israelites into the promised land. We also see that Joshua is commissioned and appointed by God. And some important themes that we also see is that we need to be strong and courageous. And then we also see that God fulfills his covenant promise with Abraham, that Israel also needs to be faithful to God by remaining in his law. And so throughout Joshua, we learn more about God. We see that God is a holy God. And we also learn the importance of sin and what that looks like and what that means for the Israelites. We also see God works miracles through Joshua, the drying up of the Jordan, the Jericho walls falling down. And so this book shows us lots about God, his people, and about leadership. And so let's turn to Joshua 1-2 now. "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel.'" So in this first verse, we see that Moses passes away, and that God is introducing Joshua, and he's saying, "Go." And so we already looked at a few verses that explained a bit about Joshua and his relationship to Moses. And in the very first verse, it says that Joshua was his assistant. And before Moses passes away, we learn in Deuteronomy 31 and 34, and I'm going to read Deuteronomy 31, verse 14. It says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Behold, the days approach when you must die. Call Joshua and present yourselves in the tent of meeting, that I may commission him.'" And then in Deuteronomy 34, we learn Moses passes away. And in verse 9, it says this, "Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him." And so we see the commissioning is already beginning. And when God commissions leaders in the Old Testament, the Spirit descends on them. And so we see that the spirit of wisdom is upon Joshua. We also see that God was preparing Joshua and training him to be the spiritual leader and a military leader. We also see, as the verses that we looked at, a pattern suggested in the Torah seems to show how Joshua was mentored by Moses. God told Moses to encourage and to help Joshua. God was preparing Joshua and training him to lead Israel into the promised land. So Joshua is starting something new, and Moses helped him and showed him the importance of following God and what that looks like to be in the law. And so when we see this, it shows the importance of discipleship, how God works within his people, and that we have to be strong and courageous and remember that God is with us. And so let's continue on into verses 3 and 5. This verse shows us that when they cross the Jordan, that wherever they will go, that this is God's promise and that this will be their land. God also reminds Joshua that just as God was with Moses, he is with Joshua. And in verses 6 to 7, it says, God says, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that my servant Moses commanded you." And we see God uses the word courageous twice. And if you jump to verse 9, it's mentioned again. The reason why God says this is because Joshua is feeling intimidated by Moses, because Moses was this great leader, and now Joshua has big shoes to fill, which can be very intimidating. And God is reminding him that all he needs to do is be strong and courageous, to remain in my word, to trust in him, and that God will lead him. So we see God is working in Joshua, showing him what it means to be holy. We also see in verses 5 to 7 that God is fulfilling his covenant promise to the patriarchs from Genesis 15. Genesis 15, 18 to 21. And so God is talking with Abraham and saying, "I will give you this land. Your people will go into the promised land." He's telling them about the covenant. And then we also know the commissioning of Joshua is the start to them going into the promised land. In verse 5 in Joshua 1, we see that no one will be able to stand up against them as long as they follow God and his commands. God's making it clear that the Israelites, what they must do, and that is obey him. We also continue to see something in God through the covenants. We see that he is promise keeper. He's faithful. He multiplied Abraham's descendants, and they became a nation known as Israel. And now he's fulfilling another covenant promise that he made, and he's bringing them into the promised land. In verse 6, we're also given another promise, that God will be with us. This is for Joshua, Israel, and for us today. It's a reminder that God is with us. He is omnipresent, and this gives us comfort, and it gives them comfort, because they know God was with Moses, and now he's with Joshua, and he will lead them. And so when we look at verses 3 and 4, we get the glimpse of God's character, that he is faithful, he's promise keeper, and he fulfills his covenants. And I'm going to talk more about covenants. God makes another covenant with David. And this can be found in 2 Samuel 7, verses 13 to 16. "He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And when he commits iniquity, I will discipline him with the rod of men, with the stripes of the sons of men. But my steadfast love will not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before you, and your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever." And we see that this covenant does get fulfilled. This covenant is talking about David's lineage being reigning forever. And that covenant gets fulfilled through Jesus. Jesus came and he died on the cross for us, so that we could become right with God. And I'm going to talk a little bit about sin in a little bit, but sin leads to death. But Jesus came and he died on the cross for us. And so if there's any of you that you feel in your heart that God is stirring for you to come to know Jesus, at the end of the service, we're praying for healing. Pastor Joran, Pastor Matt, and myself, and one of the elders will be up here. And if you feel God is prompting you to come to know Jesus, or if you have questions, come at the end of the service, and we would be glad to talk and pray with you. And so we know God is faithful. He is bringing the Israelites into the promised land. And God also gives us this hope. And this hope that we can look to is Jesus. And so when we are going into something new, how often are we keeping our eyes on Jesus? How often do we remember that God is faithful? Let's continue on in verses 7 to 9. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. We see here that Israel and Joshua must do as the Lord says, which is simple. Follow the law, which came from Moses. And Joshua was Moses' assistant, so Joshua would have grown and seen how Moses led. So if Israel is disobedient, God would not fulfill his covenant, and that was to bring his people into the promised land. And so we see close parallels to what Moses had been teaching to the Israelites in Deuteronomy. He was teaching him the law. Follow me. And so we continue to see that Joshua was the spiritual leader to the Israelites, because in order for them to gain access to the promised land, they needed to stay true to God's law. And so God was using Joshua to be the spiritual leader that he was. In verse 5, it says, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life." This is contingent, though. They need to follow God and his commands. If they follow God and his commands, the covenant is fulfilled. But I'm going to jump us to Joshua 7. It says, "But the people of Israel broke faith in regard to the devoted things for Achan, the son of Carmi, son of Zabdi, son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took some of the devoted things, and the anger of the Lord burned against the people of Israel." So we see that someone from the tribe of Judah sinned, the conquest stopped, and later they have a battle that day. They lose that battle. So all of Israel had to stop. They had to deal with that sin. And so sin for us today, it affects us, but it also affects our relationships. But the great thing is we have that hope. We have Jesus who forgives us and brings us right with God. And so Israel has to deal with their sin. And I'm going to jump back and talk about a little bit about that after, of how they deal with their sin. In verse 7, it says, "Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go." This expression, to the right or the left, is a vivid way for the Israelites to know that you should not stray or deviate from what God commands. It's important for Israel to know everything needs to be focused on God. If they continue on the straight path serving God, you will be given into the promised land. In verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success." The phrase "from your mouth" refers to the custom of muttering while studying or reflecting. And the Hebrew word translated meditate to literally mean mutter. When we see someone continually muttering God's word to him or herself, we understand that they are constantly thinking of God's word. We not only continue to see that they need to follow the law, but God continues to command Joshua and the Israelites they need to meditate on his word day and night. This is a reminder, if they meditate on it day and night, that it will be in their memory. But when they meditate, and for us today, when they meditate, they also need to apply it to their life. They just can't go through the steps of knowing it. They actually need to apply it to their lives today. So it's important for us to realize, not just to know scripture. Knowledge isn't going to transform us, and it won't save us. We need to memorize and apply it to our life so that God can transform us. And so if they follow God's ways, not just through knowledge, but by being obedient and doing as it says, their ways will be straight, and God will lead them to the promised land. Verse 9, God reminds Joshua, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And so this is the theme verse throughout Joshua. Be strong and courageous. If you follow God's commands, he will be with you. And this theme helps Israel and Joshua to see if they obey his commands, he blesses them, and that they would be going into the promised land. From verses 10 to 15, we see Joshua takes command of the Israelites and that the tribes follow him. Verses 16 to 18, Israel takes that trust and say, we will follow you, Joshua, as long as God is with you. And in verse 18, it says, if anyone sins, they will put them to death. And so, thinking of Joshua chapter 7 about Achan, the Israelites made a promise to Joshua and to God that they needed, if anyone sins, that they would put them to death. And so sin leads to death. And it's important for us to know that we have a hope now, and that hope is Jesus. And so we see from Joshua 1 that Israel is committed to following God and trusting that God is with him. Then we are charged with being strong and courageous. And as we look at chapter 1, we see the importance of following God's commands, how God prepared Joshua and led him to be a leader through discipleship. And we also know that God is faithful and he fulfills his covenant promise. So what makes Joshua important for us today? And how can we apply this to our lives? What can you do this new year for God? How can you bring the gospel here and glorify his name? And are you surrendering and giving your life up to Christ in everything? God brought Joshua into something new. And we can see that throughout Joshua, if we continue to read on, that Joshua remained faithful to God. He was obedient. He was strong and courageous. Joshua did well to obey the Lord because God was with him. But he also had a great leader who showed him how to lead. He had Moses. And so this brings me to my first application point. God wants us to disciple others by being strong and courageous. So I want us to think about discipleship. We saw in previous texts that Moses and Joshua had a great relationship, that they were close, and that God commanded Moses to charge Joshua and to encourage him, to strengthen him. And so we see that there's a clear pattern from the Torah, and that Moses was discipling Joshua, and that God was preparing him to be a leader. And so looking at mentorship or discipleship, what makes this important for us today? How can we actively apply this to our life? When we look at the New Testament, when we look at Jesus' life, he had 12 core disciples. He walked through them in life. He taught them the importance. And what happened when Jesus died and was resurrected? His disciples spread the gospel and made more disciples. In Matthew 28, 19 to 20, Jesus commands, "Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." It makes interesting parallels between Matthew 28 and Joshua 1, because God says, teach Israel, and be strong and courageous, for I am with you. And Jesus also says, teach, baptize, go therefore, and I will be with you to the ends of the age. Very interesting parallels. And so God wants us to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them. And when we take time to disciple someone, it changes us and it changes them. It challenges us. It helps us to grow. And discipleship is an amazing thing to do. I would not be here if I did not have pastors in my life or mentors in my life. I wouldn't be here today if they didn't take that time to show me the way, to help me lay my foundation. And as a student ministries pastor, I get to walk alongside with youth. And we go for coffees, and they ask some really challenging questions, which is good. It helps me grow. And then we can dig into the word together, and it helps them grow. It's a sanctifying experience for us. And so as we go into the new year, my question for us all is this: are we being strong and courageous to disciple someone? Arendelle Alliance Church is a family of disciples experiencing and proclaiming Christ's transforming love. Arendelle Alliance is a family of disciples experiencing, proclaiming Christ's transforming love. So our vision is we're a family of disciples. As a church, are we doing this well? God calls us to make disciples. And does anyone come to your mind when you hear the word discipleship or mentoring? If so, pray for them. Ask God if that's something God wants you to do, is to mentor a disciple. We also have discipleship class that we have. And if that interests you to learn more about what discipleship is, contact the office. Talk to Pastor Matt. And so God calls us to make disciples. Are we doing this well as a church? My next application point is this, is that God is faithful and keeps his covenant promises. We see that he fulfilled his promise to Israel. He made them into a nation. He brought them into the promised land. We also know that we have Jesus to look to now. And so when times are good and times are tough, do we often remember God's promises? Are we actively in his word? Going into the new year, where is our hope? Where is your hope set? Is it set in Jesus? I know January can be a hard month. We get our visa statements back from December, and the visa bill is high. I also know with inflation rates being so high, it can be daunting because it's daunting. And so, where is our hope placed? Is it placed in Jesus? Are you trusting Jesus to take care of you? God is promise keeper, miracle worker, and he gives us the hope. At times, it might not seem like it, but he does give us hope. We have to be strong and courageous and be faithful to God by remembering his promises. We need to be in his word. And another way to help us through times that may seem dark and scary is, are we in community with others? Are we leaning on them when life is hard? Are we discipling others to help support us when times are tough? I believe it's so important to be in God's word because we can hold on to his promises. And more importantly, we can look to Jesus, who is our Savior. He died for us. He knew no sin, and he died. Discipleship is important because we walk together. We look at God's word together. We're growing together. And when times are tough, we're there to support each other. And so there was a time in my life when it was dark. And that was in March of 2020. We all know what happened in March. It was COVID. COVID hit. I got laid off. I didn't have a job. And also a couple months after, me and Janelle were to get married. We got married. But not having a job was scary. But 6 months before COVID hit, God had me in Montana for my friend's wedding. I got to be a part of it. And I was in their house. And there is a scripture on the wall that talked about trust. And that verse was a promise for me for when COVID hit, that I needed to trust in God. But I actually needed to be in his word, remembering his promises, looking to Jesus. When I went through the trials, I had to be strong and courageous. It wasn't easy, but I had to trust in him. Me and Janelle were able to get married. We didn't have the wedding we dreamed of, but God still provided a way for us to get married. Also, as soon as we came back from our honeymoon, I was working as an EA. God had provided a way. He had provided a job for me. I just needed to remain in his word, remain in community with people, and he was there. So God is faithful. He is promise keeper. And this leads me to my third point, reading God's word and letting it change you, which is also known as sanctification. Joshua 1:8, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to what is written in it." So God wants us to read his Bible, to read the Bible. We can look to characters like Joshua to see how he was faithful and obedient. We can also look to Jesus so that we can know the life that we are to lead, and that is to be like Christ. And so when we read God's word, when we're memorizing it and applying it to our life, Christ is changing us. He's molding us. He's sanctifying us. So what does sanctifying mean? It's the means of becoming holy like Christ by reading his word, doing his works, and glorifying his name through it. It also means we are actively avoiding sin. We are being like Christ, who knew no sin. When we read his word and apply it to our lives, he's sanctifying us. It's so important not just to read his word, but to apply it to our lives, to live a life like Christ. When we apply God's word and read it, we're becoming holy like him. In 1 Peter 1, verses 13 to 16, it says this, "Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.'" And so when we know Jesus, we are a new creation. And to be holy is to be obedient to Christ through his words. God wants our conduct to be holy. God wants us to be sanctified through and through so that we're not conformed to our former passions, but doing God's works. And so we can look at Joshua's life. We can also look at Jesus' life to see how was his character? How was his conduct? How is your conduct and your character today? Are you living by the fruits of the Spirit? This is one way to actively know if you're following Christ, by living by the fruits of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace. And if you're living with love, that's awesome. Continue to do so. Continue to spur each other on. Other ways Christ sanctifies us is when we are in a community, or when we're being discipled with other believers, or when we are doing the works of Christ and studying his word. When we remember his promises in trying times, God is sanctifying us if we allow him to change our hearts. We can learn lots from Joshua 1. And before I pray to end the message, I want us to consider and to think about what we just learned. How can we be strong and courageous by serving God this new year? By remaining in his word, letting God sanctify us through and through. How can we be strong and courageous through discipleship? When we are discipled, or in the process, God is sanctifying us. What is God calling you to do to be strong and courageous to serve the Lord? And as I said earlier, if any of you don't know who Jesus is, at the end of this service, we're going to do some worship. And at the end, I'll come and do the benediction. And we'll have a time for prayer for healing. And if you want prayer for healing, please come forward. Pastor Joran, myself, and Pastor Matt will be at the front. And the elders will be here as well to pray. And if you want to know Jesus, please come to the front. It would be awesome to see that. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the works that you do in us and through us. Father, we just ask that you can continue to teach us to be in your word, to sanctify us. And Father, if times seem dark, I just ask that you can help us to lean on you and to lean on others. Holy Spirit, work in our lives and continue to speak to us. In your wonderful name, amen.
Amen. So many wonderful promises that the Lord has made. Something I didn't notice, but as we were practicing, I noticed there was a lot of kind of end times overtones to, or undertones, I guess, to all the songs that we've been singing. And really, that is such an amazing promise we can cling to, that Jesus is coming back. We don't know when. We just know it will be soon. So as we wait, let's cling and remember his promises that he is faithful to fulfill them all. Would you stand with us as we close in song?
You are here. worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, mending every heart. I worship you. I worship you. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Darkness, my God, that is who you are. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. Never stop working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. Never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. Never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. 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 That is who you are.
Waymaker.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Any of you want prayer for healing, please come up after this benediction. If any of you do not know Jesus, please come. We'd love to talk to you. The benediction comes from Numbers 6, 24 verses 24 to 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Go in peace. You are dismissed. Thank you.